Okay, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to point out for anybody that remained to the very final seconds of Rabbi Korobkin's here yesterday, which I was a spectator as well. I suggested something to try to answer up the final Gemara on the page. Although people asked similar questions to what I asked amongst the Rishonim and Acharonim, I did not see anybody suggest that for a couple of reasons. Number one, the read in the Gemara is very hard to put through. There are some other issues as well. So if you thought that was a nice pshat, I feel bad for you. I also thought it was a nice pshat, but it's not the pshat in the Gemara. We can follow Rashi's pshat or anybody else's pshat, but I don't want to confuse everybody just as we start. So let's begin with the Mishnah where Rabbi Korobkin actually got to, right? I mean, by starting a whole back and forth for, like, the five people that were here that are aware of what I'm talking about, I don't think it's worth it for today's share. So, Hamakdish Sadehu Bishas Hayovel. Okay, rather than Bishnas Hayovel, which is not in any Gersas of the Gemara, it's just, that's what we're used to hearing. But if someone is Makdish his field at the time that Yovel is what we practice, at the time that we practice Yovel, how does it work? So, I don't know if you've gone through this before. You should have gone through this earlier in Arachin, but there are two types of fields. Can anybody remind me what the two types of fields are? So the Seachuza is one. What does that mean? That's the one that we're always going to be talking about here, which is a heritage, something that you own and gets passed down from father to son, and they stay. Mikneh. Yes, exactly. That's the other type, which is one that you buy, and those are different halachos. Okay, so we're now talking about, okay, Seachuza so. Okay, and if you have, it will serve you very, very useful if you have a Gemara that has the full Pesukim out here, or if you have a Chumash somewhere around, because there's a couple of Pesukim that we're going to be focusing on for a lot of different drushas. I mean, we already were using them yesterday, but we're going to use quite a lot of drushas. And the Pasuk says as follows, Vim mistei achuza so yakdish ish l'Hashem. If from someone stei achuza, from their field of inheritance, whatever you want to call it, Yaktish ish l'Hashem, a person will be makdish. V'haya erkecha l'fi zar'o. The erech of it, okay, so this field has a status of actual arachin. There's a set price depending on the size of the field. It's not that if it's a good field, you have this price, and if it's a bad field, we evaluate it like this. That's not the way it works for a stei achuza. Rather, zerach omer sorim v'chamishim shekel kesef. Says the Pasuk, okay, and we're going to see this in the Mishnah, it's not the Mishnah's language, it's the Torah's language, that for each place where you can plant a certain amount of barley, you're going to pay 50 shekel kesef, it's a rate, okay, and we're going to see some applications of this in the Gemara. So says the Mishnah again, we quote the Pasuk, okay, as we're going to see in the Gemara, this is what we would call a base kur, okay, the amount you'd be able to plant a kur. The Gemara is going to get into the nitty-gritty of what constitutes this amount of land in terms of the ability to plant this amount of produce. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ayusham nika'im amukim asara tfachim. Let's say you had these really big ditches and holes that were 10 tfachim deep, okay? Or if you had, slaim givohim asara tfachim, these big rocks that were 10 tfachim tall. Do you evaluate those as part of the space which we are using to evaluate the field? Because again, the field doesn't depend on, you know, if it's a good field, a bad field, is it rocky, does it produce well? None of that matters. It's all dependent on the amount of area that you have. So the question is, do you include these sort of parts which one could argue are part of the field and one could argue are not part of the field? Do they count when it comes to finding the area? Correct. So says the Mishnah, if they're above or below 10 tfachim, einan nimdadin ima. They are not measured with it. What that means, again, the Gemara will discuss. Pachos mikan. However, if they are 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, even though that they're a little ditch and they're a little rock, doesn't matter. Pachos mikan nimdadin ima. They are counted with it. Hikdisha shtayim v'shal shanim v'fnei hayovel. Okay, and this is something that we are actually familiar with from yesterday, from other days. If someone was makdish something two or more years before the Yovel, no sin sela upundion l'shana. Each year, you'd have to give one sela and one pundion. As we explained, a pundion is approximately 1/48 of a sela. And being that we split up the 50 shekel amount of a base kur over those 49 years, so each year you'll have to pay slightly more than one shekel, than one sela, which will be the pundion, the one 48 that you'll have to add. That's the way you do it. Vim amar hareini nosein davar shana b'shana. Now, let's say someone says, you know, I don't have the money right now to redeem my field. I'd like to pay it year by year. So this year, I'll redeem it for the coming year by paying one shekel and one pundion. Next year, I'll redeem it for that year by paying a shekel and a pundion. The following year, I think you get the idea. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, I mean,
it's
almost like a mortgage payment, except that I don't think the person can go ahead lechatchila and say, I want it forever, but I mean, obviously he's agreeing that I'd have to do that, and just like in a mortgage, I guess, they could foreclose on the house, so to here they would take the field back, I would assume. It's almost like, yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. So, in that case, ein shomin lo, of course not. In that case, we don't listen to the guy, ela nosin es kulo ke'echad, you've got to give it all together. Echad ba'alim ve'echad kol ha'adam, whether it's the original owner that's redeeming it, or whether it's anybody that's redeeming it. Ma bein ba'alim l'chol ha'adam, so what is the difference between the person who was originally makdish it, and, or the person whose ancestral field it was, or anybody else who's redeeming it? Ela she'a ba'alim nosin chomesh, v'chol ha'adam ein nosin chomesh. The rule is that the ba'alim, okay, they actually have to pay an additional fifth. Okay, which is really an additional quarter if you look in the halachos, because it ends up being a fifth once it's done. It's a fifth from the outside, as we call it. I was very lucky that I had the opportunity last night to read through most of the Rambam in this Perek Dalet of Hilchos Erechin, to help me try to figure out a lot of these different things that I had no idea of. It also gives me an idea of which of these Gemaras are like entirely disputed by all the Rishonim, where you see the Rambam says one thing, the Ravid says another thing, and everybody's like, what's going on here? So those ones now I know are really confusing. But nevertheless, okay, this is sort of the basic process of being ma'arich es sedei achuza. Okay, says the Gemara. Tana, kur zera velo kur tfua. When we said you have to be able to plant, okay, a kur's worth, a field of a kur's worth with seed, it means, okay, the area that you're able to plant a kur's worth in it, but not velo kur tfua. It's not going to be the amount of the area of a field in which you can harvest one kur's worth of final grown barley from. Okay, it's the amount of seed that you're planting, not the amount of barley that you're harvesting. Okay?
Input, not output.
Yes, input, not output. Thank you. Mapolis yad. And so too, we have more rules. It has to be the type of planting that you'd plant with your hand, velo mapolis shvarim. And it can't be sort of the planting machines that they used to have where you'd have oxen pulling this big bag of seeds, basically, and it would come out at a much faster rate, okay? In all of these cases just outlined in general, if it's coming out faster, who does it benefit? The amount of land is going to be smaller then, so then it's going to come out to benefit Hektish, because even for a smaller piece of land, you're going to have to pay your 50 shekels. So for a larger piece of land, you're the person being Maktish is going to have to pay more. However, if it's a slower, okay, type of planting, then it's going to benefit you. If you do it very, very slowly, then it's going to be a much wider area of land. Okay, so says the Gemara to continue. Tani Levi, Levi learned, lo ma'avev lo medak ela benoni. And for this reason, says Levi, you can't do it in a very thick layer of seeds, okay, because that, again, would benefit whom? The Beis HaMikdash, because the amount of seeds that you could get into the field would be much higher, so the field would be smaller relative to other fields. You can't do it very lightly, again, which would benefit the person, because you'd be spreading it out over a wider area. Rather, you should just do it regular, okay? Don't go around messing around with this. Okay, this is the rule for the Mishnah. Hayusham nika'im amukim. Now we had this case in the Mishnah where we said if these big ditches or these big rocks were 10 tfachim or above or 10 tfachim or below, then they are not going to count as part of the area of one's field, otherwise they will count. Ask the Gemara, v'likachu ba'anfei nafshayu. Why don't these get a separate hektish? Okay? Dechi teman, if you're going to say, kema de lohavu beis kor, lohavu kachi, and if you would tell me, well, ezer, didn't you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah seems to imply that only once you reach a beis kor of this amount do you have a hektish status of 50 shekel. So what's that all about? So, v'chi tema says the Gemara, kev lo have a beis kor lo have a kachi, since there's not enough, there wouldn't be any sort of hektish here. V'altanya, we learned in a braisa, sadeh matamod lomar. Okay, what do we learn from the word sadeh? Okay, V'misedei achuz asar yakdishish l'Hashem. Why does it say from the field of your ancestry, from your inheritance? Why doesn't it just say V'imei achuz asar yakdishish l'Hashem? Right? So says the Gemara. L'fishen emar, since it says zerach omer se'orim v'chamishim shekel kesef, since it gives us the amount for the cost, eli ala sheikdish ki'inyin hazeh. That would only tell me if I gave that amount as a hekdish, meaning a minimum amount of zerach omer se'orim. Minayin l'rabos lesech v'chatzi lesech se'ah v'tirka v'chatzi tirka. If you look in Rashi, you can see exactly, you know, how much of a shear are each of these, but they're shiurim that are significantly smaller than a kur. So says the Gemara, how do I know that I can be makdish a field which doesn't reach this area, and it will still be considered hektish, and I'll be makdish it at a partial price? Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, sadeh mikol makom, any field, whether it's a big field, a small field, this is the rate we apply. It's not just a set price. No matter how large the field, you pay 50 shekel, or how small the field, you pay 50 shekel. The rate of 50 shekel per zerach omer se'orim still applies. However, it might be 25 shekel if you've got half of that amount. It might be 100 shekel if you've got double that amount. Okay, it'll be like consecrating two fields. Okay, and this is what the Gemara says. Okay, so therefore, the Gemara at this point is still stuck. Why is it that in this field, where you have, let's say, a bunch of ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, how come those don't constitute a second hektish for all of the ditches? Meaning we agree that the ditches are not part of the same field as the actual field. Why they're so significantly different in height, it doesn't count. But why can't they be counted together as a mini field? Right? Why shouldn't they be counted as another field? So Amar Rukva Bar Chama, Hacha b'nekayim mileim mayim, delav b'nei zriya ninhu. Says Amar Rukva Bar Chama, well, these aren't really a field. They have water in them. There's no usable land here whatsoever. Sorry?
Some arable land.
Correct. So therefore, we can't consider this possibly another piece of land that you're being makdish, because there's no available land here. It's like a big, it's like a big bar.
Swampy.
Right? So, Lavnei Zriya didn't know that you can't plant in them whatsoever. Dekanami, and says the Gemara, this is an excellent interpretation. Why? It's very similar to the other case of our Mishnah, Dektani Dumya Dislayim. Because what were the two cases that we said together didn't count? Were a little pit that was below 10 and a boulder that was above 10. Just like you obviously can't plant on a boulder, so too you can't plant in this low area, presumably because it's filled with water. Shmamina. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi pachos mikan nami. So, you know, if so, says the Gemara, you know, why do we set a shear of 10 tvachim? It should be even less, meaning if it's dependent on the ability to plant in these areas, so if some area is non-plantable, even if it's above, you know, even if it's between 1 and 10, it's hard to say because you're going above and below from different directions, but the point is, even if it's less than 10 relative to the ground, you should also not be able to use it, says the Gemara. Hani nagani de'ara mikru, shidri de'ara mikru. Apparently these are helpful in terms of what they're called. They're valuable to the land, and they're considered part of the land when they're below 10, even though they're not plantable. That's the takeaway from the Gemara. Do I want to try to figure out exactly what each of these words means? No, I really don't. But the point is that in both cases, both these rocks and these holes are a valuable part of the land, so long as they are within a certain distance from it. Okay? Says the Gemara, continuing. Hikdish ashtayim v'shalashanim. Okay, lifnei hayovel. Someone is makdish 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Each year you're going to be giving a sela and pundion for the number of years left. So Tana Rabbana says the Gemara, v'nigra me'erkecha. What does the pasuk say? V'nigra me'erkecha. Af mina hektish she'im achla hektish ana ushtayim. Then you're going to take away from your erech. Okay, so if you look again in the pasuk that we were dealing with yesterday, which you have, again, some of you may have in your Gemaras, if after the Yovel you're going to be makdish your field, okay, how we exactly figured that out, go back to yesterday's daf. The Kohen calculates how much is left until Yovel, and it will be taken away from the Erech, meaning each year that passes, that Hekdish uses the field, says the Gemara, that will take away one selan pundion per year as you move towards the following Yovel. Says the Gemara, inami or lo achla, even if Hektish didn't actually use it. Let's say Hektish just sat around with it and there's nothing going on. El ashaisa lefanav, but it was sitting there. No sin selo pundion lashana. Again, each year remaining, you're going to give a selah u pundion. Okay, and this is the way that we evaluate the amount that a person needs to give for a field, whether it's that he's being maktishit for the first time with a few years left, or whether or not he's maktishit from the previous Yovel, whenever he's permitted to, and it's the full amount, that each year it's going to go down by one sela upundion as you move closer and closer and closer. That's the next part of the Mishnah. Finally, the last part. The imamar hareini nosein, and again, this was where the person wanted to pay in installments. Tanu Rabbanan says the Gemara, minayin shim amru ba'alim hareinu nosnin davar shana v'shana shein shomin lahen. Says the Gemara basically, what's the source that we won't accept the payment in installments? Tamud lomar v'chishav lo ha-kohen es ha-kesef. Ad sheyehei kesef kulo ke'echad. The Gemara darshins, es ha-kesef, all the money needs to be there in one large chunk, in one payment. Echad ba'alim v'echad chaladim, again, no matter who it is, ma bin ba'alim l'chaladim, and we conclude with the words of the Mishnah again, what would be the halachic difference between the original makdish and the original owners, I should say, and any other person, sheha ba'alim nosnin chomesh, v'echal adam in nosnin chomesh, that the ba'alim will have to pay an additional fifth, or an additional quarter, adding up to a fifth, and anybody will have to pay, will not have to pay. A chomesh, they can just redeem it at sela upundion per year. All clear? Any questions on all these complicated cases? Or everybody's too tired to ask?
You explained it very well.
Okay. Says the Mishnah. Let's move on then. Hikdisha ug'ala. Now we're gonna get... The truth is, after reading through most of the Rambam, it would be very valuable if anybody's a bit of spare time to go to Perek Dalet of Arachin and look through it. For those of you who will be searching in the Rambam, if you actually listen to me on this, and take a chance, you know, to see how it's codified Halacha L'maisa, if we could so say, it's in Perek Dalet of Arachin V'Charamos, which is in, I believe, Sefer Hafla'a, if I remember correctly. So don't go searching around through all of the different volumes. You can find it in there. Okay, says the Mishnah. Okay?
I'm
not. Hikdisha ugala, ena yotza miyado biyovel. Now we're going to get to the rules, and these are also extremely complicated, as to what happens afterwards, okay? If you're a Makdishit and then you're a Goelit, okay, so one person who owns the field, it's his ancestral field, he's Makdish the field, he's poda it back, Eina Yotza Miyado Biyovel. It will not leave his hands at Yovel, it remains in the family, okay? And we're going to see this is not always the case. Depending on who is poda it, it will actually go to different parties, okay? Gala Beno. Let's say he got his son to be Goelit for him, to be poda it for him, what will be the halacha? Yotza Lavi Biyovel. It will return to his father. On Yovel, again, it's an ancestral field. It goes back to his father, who was Makdishit to begin with. Ge'ala acher. O echad meha krovim. Ug'ala miyado. However, if a random person comes, let's say one of you comes and is, you know, poda the field on my behalf, or even if another one of my relatives comes, if, I don't know, my third cousin twice removed, doesn't have to even be that far, comes and is poda the field, you know what happened in that case? Even though, presumably, they know me or they realize that it was mine to begin with, that doesn't matter, says the Mishnah. Yotzim lakohanim bayovel. At Yovel, the field becomes property of the Kohanim. So, moral of the story, guys, if you ever come to be Makdish your field, you better be prepared to buy it back or at least have your kid buy it back. Because, and we're going to talk actually about the status of a daughter, so I shouldn't necessarily say kid, maybe son. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ga'ala echad mina kohanim. Let's say one of the kohanim was smart. He realized that normally, if someone else that's not the person whose ancestral field it was, who was makdishit, is poda the field, then it goes to the kohanim. So this Cohen figures, genius idea, right? We're getting back to the scams again. Cohen figures, I'll be poda the field, and then I'll keep it. Normally gets split up among the kohanim, but he says, maybe if I'm poda it, since it's supposed to go to the kohanim, if I was actually the one who was poda it, maybe I'll keep it. Because I'll already have owned the field at that point up until the Yovel. So says the Mishnah, V'harei tachas yado, and it would be under his hand once he is poded, lo yomar, he cannot say, ho v'hi yotza l'kohanim be'yovel. V'harei tachas yadi, harei hi sheli. He cannot say that which we just suggested. He can't say that since it's supposed to go to the Kohanim and I have it now, I can keep it. Ela yotza mitachas yado, umischalekes l'chol echav ha'kohanim. But rather, it leaves his hand and it gets split up again among the entire Kohanic family of that Mishmar that's there for Yovel. Okay, so in this case, this doesn't work. He can't go ahead and say, I'm going to keep it for myself. But to summarize the Mishnah, because that's going to be important, the guy or his son himself, it remains in the family. However, anybody else, it goes to the Kohanim. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we're turning the page. Im lo yig ales hasadeh. Okay, again, here it's very useful to take a look at the psukim, okay, which here you're going to get chaf zayin chaf, followed by chaf zayin chaf aleph, which will be sources aleph and gimel in the Torah or Shalim for those of you who have it. Says the psukim, vim lo yig ales hasadeh, if someone does not redeem the field, vim macharis hasadeh lishacher, or if the field was sold to someone else, lo yigael od, it cannot be redeemed. And continues the next pasuk, v'hayah hasadeh b'tzeiso b'yovel, in such a case where the person sold it to someone else, meaning someone else redeemed it on their behalf, or he didn't redeem it at all, when that sadeh leaves that yovel, kodesh l'Hashem kisteh hacherem, it is entirely holy to Hashem, meaning it remains with, quote-unquote, Hashem at the times of yovel, l'akoeinti yachuz aso, and the kohanim get it, okay? So that's the background in the psukim for what we just discussed, okay? So there we have psukim. Now, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, let's learn a braisa. Im lo yig al es hasadeh. What does it mean if he won't redeem the sadeh? What is yig al? Yig al means him. Says the Gemara, it means ba'alim. V'im machares hasadeh. What is it, who is it referring to when it says, and he sold the field? Is it referring to the ba'alim? No, we're talking about gizbar. The person, meaning it was nifteh through someone else, like I explained the pasuk. What does it mean l'ish acher? To another man. Okay, this is not a case of sota or anything like this. We don't have an easy interpretation to say another man. What does it mean? Le'acher velo lebein. The Gemara darshins, it has to be to someone different, not to the person himself's son. Says the Gemara, leben ata omer le'acher velo lebein, o'eino ela le'acher velo le'ach. Asks the Gemara 1 second, why are we assuming that the son is considered the closest family member that's going to be allowed to retain this field for you if they redeem it? Maybe, says the Gemara, we should say that it's referring to the brother. Why would the Gemara say this? Anybody know if you haven't peeked ahead yet? What's special about a brother in certain areas of halacha? Yibum. Very good. And the Gemara is going to get right into this. Right? O'enu halacha v'lo la'ach. Kishihu omer ish. Okay? When it says ish, hare ach amur. Okay? That would be considered someone else. That's the way. Shiheya ach eritetsi lekohanim. Hamani mekayim acher velo leben. So ask the Gemara, why am I saying, you know, acher is coming to say a ben? And ask the Gemara, umar ra'isa l'rabo says a ben ulhotzi as a ach marbani ab. So, meaning, from one case, we had a case of ish, okay? If you see here, le'ish, okay? That basically, we're going to choose to exclude, what the Gemara is simply saying is, we're going to choose to exclude the brother, and we're going to use acher to say velo leben. And the Gemara is asking now, basically, umar ra'is l'rabo says aber l'hotziach, meaning, why are you excluding this one and keeping this one? Okay? Up until now, we were saying maybe that it should just be, again, l'acher velo la'ach. However, the word ish tells me that ach would be le'ish acher. When it says in the pasuk le'ish acher, we're saying no. The word le'ish acher includes the brother. Okay? It's only the son that's not included in that. Now the Gemara says, but what's your logic for saying that? The Gemara says, very nice that you told me a drasha. Again, so step one in the Gemara, is it talking about the ben or the ach? Is it talking about the son or the brother? The answer is, it's talking about the ben that's allowed to redeem it on behalf of the father, because the brother is included li'ish acher. The Gemara now asks, why? Why are you choosing this one over this one? So says the Gemara, okay? Umar ra'is l'rabos says a ben ol'hotzi atach. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Mar b'ani ha-ben shekein kam tachas aviv li'ido le'evet ivri. Well, says the Gemara, because the ben has a special relationship with his father. It's not a special relationship. Why? He can replace his father in the cases of Yida. Okay, it's marriage case when his father buys an Amma Ivriya. Again, we're not going to get into the details, but in that case, the father and son have a special relationship where the father can give this to the son. Ula Eved Ivri, and so too, in a case of Eved Ivri, okay, De Oved Es HaBen Imeis Adona V'soch Vav Shanim. Okay, if within the 6 years of the Eved Ivri, the father dies, it continues on to service the son. Asks the Gemara, fine, you've given me good reasons as to why the son has a special relationship with the father. But let's not forget, as you all mentioned, that the brother also has a special relationship with the father. Adaraba, says the Gemara, Mar bani asa'ach shekein kam tachas achiv li'ibum. Says the Gemara, but wait, it's true for Ye'ida and Eved Ivri, there's a father-son relationship, but for Yibum, there's a father-brother relationship. So why are you going to choose that one over this one? Maybe choose the brother because of Yibum. And answers the Gemara what we all should have been thinking, Klum yesh Yibum, ela b'makom she'ein ben. Hayesh ben, ein Yibum. Says the Gemara, well, when does Yibum happen? When the father doesn't have a relationship to his son. the son does Yibum, so to say, just as much as the brother does. Meaning, if he has a kid, then there's no case of Yibum. So we can't possibly say that we should choose the brother over the kid. Even in the case of Yibum, it's not applicable when the father has a child. Okay? So,
why didn't we just say that the son is the father's heir? So that's the only thing that really matters here.
So,
the brother
can, well, then it can be any family member.
If there's no son.
And are you going to really start that whole cheshbon now? Every time someone goes to the base of Mikdash, it's the closest? No, but the point is, there specifically says in the pasuk, l'ish acher, has to be considered to someone outside. And once you start getting into the whole parsha of who inherits the person, there's always some third cousin who inherits them. The point is, we're going to say, it's only one special relationship that is considered, you know, not l'ish acher. There has to be only one special relationship, because otherwise, once we start doing cheshbonos, it's going to be a big mess, and the aunt will come and say, well, I would have been yoresh if, right? And everybody's going to come in and start doing that. We can't have all those cheshbonos. So says the Gemara, right? Hayesh ben ein ibum. If, however, there is, again, a son, right? You know what they say, where there's a will, there's relatives, right? So, Ben, Hayesh ben ein Yibum, as we explained, again, once there is a kid, there's no Yibum, so we can't choose the relationship between the father and his brother over the relationship between father and son. Ask the Gemara, V'tepuk le'da'acha tarti v'achachada. Ask the Gemara, why didn't we just answer by saying that the son has two times where his relationship is special, and the brother only has one time, right? We mentioned Yida Neved Ivri for the son, and we only mentioned Yibum for the brother. So why don't we answer it like that? Says the Gemara, Mishum De'Eved Ivri, Mehai Pircha Namihu De'Navkale. Because really, if you go through how we figured out Eved Ivri, says the Gemara, we had this choice. Should we compare it to Yida, or should we compare it to Yibum? And from this very same logical conclusion, we concluded that Eved Ivri should also follow the son. Right? Meaning that Yibum is not, does not happen in the case of a son, right? Yesh Yibum, right? Denaf Galei, Klum Yesh Yibum, Ela Makom Shein Ben. That's what we used there. So therefore, obviously, first of all, A, saying this logic is the same reason that we even learned Eved Ivri. But second of all, Eved Ivri itself, without this logic, wouldn't be a case that we could prove from, because we wouldn't have awarded it to the son. We might have awarded it to the brother there. So says the Gemara, Bayuraba Bar Avua, Bas Mahu Shetamid Sada Le'aviyah. So based on what we've been talking about until now, there's a special relationship between a father and son in which ways? What did we just mention? Two cases? Yehida and Eved Ivri. Okay? Now, what happens, okay, for a girl? Does a girl have any of those rules? Does a daughter have any of those rules? No. On the other hand, says the Gemara, what would be the halacha? Kevan delinyin yibum. Benu baski hadadi patri mukma. Would you say that since in the case of Yibum, even if the person has a daughter, he no longer falls to Yibum? And what we said, the reason why we follow this child, or the son, over the brother, is because when there is a child, there's no Yibum. So maybe that should even apply to a girl. Odilmar, maybe, Kevin Delinya Nachla, Bas B'makom Ben Ki Acher Damya, or maybe because when it comes to inheritance, if you've got a son and a daughter, the son will inherit from Torah law, then she would be considered like someone else in that case. Lo mukmash, that you can't uphold it here. So says the Gemara Tashma, we'll bring a riot time to do Rishmal, Kol Shehu Acher B'makom Ben, anybody who is considered an outsider, someone else, when there is a child, a son present, and therefore, V'hanami B'makom Ben Ki Acher Damya. And when it comes to Nachala, again, we're going to choose the case of Nachala to prove it over the case of Yibum. Okay, so the conclusion of the Gemara is that it actually specifically has to be a son and not a daughter.
Is any of this
Ketanim? I don't know why that should be.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't think so. Bayur Abzera. Abzera asks, Isha, now what about the case of a woman, you know, who has a field? Mi ma'amid la sada. Who is it in that case that can, again, keep the sada in her possession? Baal Mokim La, says the Gemara. Okay. Dihu Yaris La, that he inherits her, meaning if she were to pass away, the husband would get her stuff. So maybe if the husband redeems the field, it would stay with her. Or says the Gemara, Odilma, okay, that's what Aleph Dalet stands for, not Ika de Amri, Odilma, and you can see that's the case in Nagos HaBach as well, maybe Bein Mokim La, Shekein Nota Barai Kebamachzak, or maybe the child would be able to uphold it. Again, her son would be able to keep it there. Shekein nota v'raibu kibamuchzak. This is a phrase which we see elsewhere, which basically means that the son gets both in terms of inheriting his mother later on, both what is mochsak, what she already has, but also what is ra'ay, if there was something going to come to her and then she dies, then it goes straight to him, to the son. So basically there's different halachas of Yerusha, but basically, says the Gemara, teku, we don't know if the original Yerusha, if she were to die right now, that would go to the father, or if it would be the later Yerushas when things that were meant to pass to her would go directly to her son. We don't know which is considered the one who will be not Le'ish Acher, who will be able to redeem it for her. And the Gemara says, teku, we don't know, you know, the answer to this question right now. Ba'amin irami barchama me'rav chista. Okay, Rami Bar Chama came to Rav Chista and asked, Higdisha pachas mishtei shanim lefnei hayovel. So going back to our Mishnah, we talked about, you know, in the cases where someone else redeems it, it goes to the Kohanim. What about, says Rami Bar Chama from Rav Chista, if someone was maktish it less than 2 years before Yovel? Mahu shetetzei la Kohanim. What do you think about in that case? Should it go to the Kohanim? Okay, meaning someone actually came and redeemed it for the entire 50 shekel. I mean, it wasn't the case of redeeming Big Yeruah, because you can't redeem Big Yeruah if it's less than 2 years, as we said in a number of Dabim, okay, yesterday's Dab. So what would be the halacha there? So Amar Lema Da'atach says, what do you think about the following drasha? It says, again, if we looked at the psukim that we were putting next to each other, V'nigrame Erkecha, V'haya Asadeh B'tzeiso Ba'yovel, even though they're not directly next to each other, we have one pasuk which says, only when vinigram erkecha, only when there is a lower sort of taking away from the erech, meaning that it's a pace of one selah and one pundion per year, that we would say v'ayahaso debetzio bayovel kodesh l'ashem kizecherem lakoin tiyachuz aso, that it should go to the kohen. Debaskiro, in any field which falls under the category of applying the rate of, you know, going down per year, prorating it per year, in that would go to the Kohanim, de la Vaskiro, and one which didn't have that ruling low would not go to the Kohanim, says the Gemara, Adarabba. No, you could make the opposite argument, okay? Because you have another pasuk that's close to that pasuk, and it says, Im lo yig al hasadeh, v'yaya sadeh v'tzeiseo bayovel, v'ayinami baski ulahi. Say, no, maybe you could make the drasha from the fact that it says, if you don't redeem the sadeh, then any sada which can be redeemed, like this field, it's true you have to pay way more, you have to pay your full 50 shekel, but nevertheless, it's still a redeemable field, therefore, this rule will also apply, and it will go to the Kohen. Okay? I don't know if there's a conclusion on this, presumably the second view is the one that gets accepted. Okay? Gala echad min ha-kohanim. Again, now the Gemara is going to find us a source, right? We just found the source for the case of where someone is makdish it very close to Yovel, does it go to the Kohanim? And we had these two conflicting sets of comparable psukim. Now we're going to explain the case of, again, the Kohen trick where he wants to keep it for himself. Then Rabbanan says the Braisa, La Kohen tihyeh achuzah, so to the Kohen it will be, again, his inheritance. Ma Talmud Lomar, what does this teach us? Says the Braisa, Minayin l'sada sheyotze l'kohanim b'yovel ugala echad min ha-kohanim. Minayin shliyomar hol yotze l'kohen harei tachas yadi utei sheli. Okay? How do we know, and basically the Gemara just goes through, this Brisa just goes through the case of the Mishnah, that if a Kohen, how do we know that if a Kohen comes and he says, I'm going to redeem it now and then I'll keep it, how do we know that it's going to stay his? Vidinu, and that it's appropriate, b'shel acher mani zocha, b'shel asmi l'kolshken, if I'm going to get from someone else who is redeeming, certainly I should get for myself, he says logically, l'kolshken, shouldn't that be the case? Talmud lomar, the Brisa brings a pasuk, achuzaso. Achuzah shelo ve'ein zeh shelo. Okay, exactly how this works, I'm not quite sure of the language here, right? That you can say, la kohen tiyeh, like the achuzah from someone else, but not that it remains his. Haketzad explains the Gemara, yotze mitachas yado, right? Again, it's achuzah so, but not that the field remains his. This seems to be the drasha, that again, we're saying it's part of his inheritance, but inheritance is split amongst all the Kohanim, but not that it remains his. It doesn't say, la kohen tihyeh, that it goes to the Kohen, in which we could ostensibly learn the drasha of, you know, we could ostensibly understand that the Kohen would keep the field, if it would just say it goes to the Kohen. But no, it says, la kohen tihyeh achuzaso. It's his general ancestral inheritance or heritage along with the rest of the Kohanim. Therefore, it's split amongst all the Kohanim, even though he had previously purchased it. Says the Mishnah. Any questions? No?
Forced philanthropy.
Basically, I mean, it's a special one of the Matnos Kahunas. We're going to see in the next Machlokas. We're just going to go a little bit down onto the next Amud. Says the Mishnah. Higia Yovel velo nigala. What about the awkward case where no one is goelet? Meaning the previous Mishnah dealt with who is goelet. Is this person, this person, this person, this person. What happens when no one gets it? Okay? Here we have a three-way machlokas. The first opinion is HaKohanim nichlasin letocha v'nosnin es dameha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kohanim go in, they pay for it. Meaning they get a chance to buy it, I guess, at its actual rate, I would assume, right? Meaning not for, you don't have to do any redeeming things here. It's on Yovel, they pay the worth of the field. And the Kohanim get to take it over. That's what it means. Lakointi Yahuza so.
Is it an auction?
I think it's just the worth of it. I didn't think, you know, I doubt it would be an auction because it's being split amongst the Kohanim. So who are we auctioning it between? It's just they have to pay the worth of the field. Meaning before, the Erech, again, was independent of how much the field was actually worth. Right? The Erech was just a set amount per area. I would assume they would have to pay the worth. But I don't know where I get that from.
Rashi is saying they paid the set amount. They paid the 50 shekel.
Oh, right, I saw that. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. I thought I saw that at least. Yeah, Dami Chamishim Shekel V'Shakel. Yes, they paid the 50. I don't know why I forgot that. Sorry. My bad. Apologies. Okay, so they go on and pay the 50 shekel. Which, by the way, is not such a great gift. Right? I guess if you remains with you forever, it's a good deal. But
well,
anyways.
It's a good field.
Depends on the field.
Right, correct. Depends on the field. Continues the Gemara. Sorry. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it says, Nichnasin velo nosnin. They actually get to go in, but they don't have to pay. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Like a gift. Rabbi Lazar Omer, lo nichnasin velo nosnin. Actually, if it's not revealed, they can't even take control of the field. And certainly, they don't get money for it. El anikre sedei retushin. It's called basically the Nebuch field that didn't get redeemed. Okay, it's like Azuva. It's like, you know, it's abandoned. The abandoned field. And it waits, ara yovel hasheni, and it goes up the next time people can redeem it. Okay? Crazy. And you know what happens if someone doesn't redeem it the second time? Guess what? Nikreis ritu, right? Higia yovel hasheni v'lo nigalon, nikreis retushe, retushe, ara yovel hashlishi. Then it gets called the abandoned of the abandoned. And it keeps on going, says Rabbi Lazar, le'olam ein ha-kohanim nechazin l'tocha ha-chigal an-acher. The Kohanim never enter until someone redeems it. Meaning, we have to go back to the previous Mishnah, says Rabbi Lazar, and it's only if someone else, an Acher, actually redeems the field. Now, I can assure you 100 years later, it's not the original person that's redeeming it, and it probably is not even his son. So, he says, the only time Kohanim can possess the field is when someone else is podeit, like we learned in the Pasuk, whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say the Kohanim get it if it's left abandoned, which seems to be, by the way, the simple read of the Pesukim. Says the Gemara, what is the reason for the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether or not you need to pay? So says the Gemara, my time under Rabbi Yehuda, Gamar Kodesh Kodesh mi Makdish Bias. Says Rabbi Yehuda, he learns it out from a drash of Kodesh Kodesh in both places as Kodesh from the case of someone who's Makdish his house. Malahalan Bidamim, just like there, the Kohanim need to pay for the house. Afkan Bidamim, so to here, they need to pay for the field. Verav Shimon, Gamar, Kodesh, Kodesh, Mikivsi Atzeres. Whereas Rav Shimon says, no, the drasha of Kodesh, Kodesh does not go to Makdish Bayis, it goes to Kivsi Atzeres. Male Halan Bechinam, just like by the Kivsi Atzeres, okay, if you see by the Kvasim of Atzeres, they're obviously something given to the Kohanim for free. The Kohanim don't pay for these Korbanos. So Male Halan Bechinam, just like there, it's free. Afkan Bechinam is going to be free. Verav Yehuda, Nami Nelef Mikivsi Atzeres. Why is it that Yehuda doesn't also learn from Kivsi Atzeres? Why is it that he chooses to learn from Makdish Bayis, from another case of Hektish, as opposed to learning from these special korbanos that the Kohanim get? Done in Kachi Berek HaBayis, mi Kachi Berek HaBayis. He says it's very simple. These two are exactly the same topic. The topic that we're going on is Kachim. Someone's being Makdish something. So just like we see over there, when someone's Makdish something, the Kohanim have to pay for it. By Makdish Bias, the Kohanim have to pay the worth of it if they want to take it over. So too here by the field, even though it says it will go to the Kohanim, since we have this drasha of Kodesh Kodesh, we're going to compare it to that case of Makdish Bias and say they have to pay, and not compare it to Kivsei Atzeres. Says the Gemara, right? However, we shouldn't go look at something that's a korban and compare it to Kachi Berek Bias. They're two different things. It's true the Kohanim get it in both cases, but it's not comparable. For Rabbi Shimon, so what's he going to answer then? What does Rabbi Shimon say? Nami Nelefi Makdish Bayis. How come he doesn't learn out Kodesh Kodesh from being Makdish a house? Says the Gemara, done in Davar Shematana LeKohanim, Davar Shematana LeKohanim. When it comes to Makdish Bayis, is that a present to the Kohanim? No, it's simply put up for sale, and the Kohanim can buy it. But it's not given as a present. It's given as Hektish. So therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, that's not a real present. That's not one of the matnos kahuna. Whereas if you look in the Pesukim here, says Rabbi Shimon, this appears to be a present to the Kohanim. So he says, when we compare it, we're not going to compare it to a case where they have to buy something. It's a present. It's free. So therefore, we're going to compare it to another case of a matana, namely the gifts of Yatzeres, which are also given to them. So, done in davar shematana lakohanim, mi davar shematana lakohanim, vein davar, done in davar shematana lakohanim, mi davar she'enu matana lakohanim. We don't judge it for something which is not a matana for the kohanim. Amen.